Hallelujah. Matthew 16, if you have your Bibles. Matthew 16. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in a part of the body of Christ that is a vital part of our life, and that is being members one of another, coming together in a place we call the sanctuary. But Father, we know the sanctuary is a result of our personal walk with God. And today, as we celebrate Easter and what it's all about, I thank you so much for the music, the psalms, the skits, and everything. And Father, it all centered around the purpose of Easter. And so today, and when I share the word, may it bring even more clarity to what's already been expressed. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, when he came to Philippi, the region of Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And so they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus had said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." When he said flesh and blood, he said he never got that revelation from another man or another person, but he had received it, the revelation of who Christ was really all about. Then Jesus said something very interesting and very strange. He said, "I'm going to build my church, and the government structure of Satan's kingdom cannot overcome the church that I build." And we are that church that Christ built. Amen. Those of us who have received Jesus and made him not only our Savior, but our Lord. And that's a wonderful thing, because he said, "I'm going to give you the keys to the authority of this kingdom." Actually, the kingdom of the heavens, it's plural. "And whatever you bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have already been loosed in heaven." Then he commanded his disciples they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. So he was trying to give them the proper timing for the revelation of who he was. Thank God he's manifested and we know who he is. Praise the Lord. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter, wonderful Peter, the one who received from our Heavenly Father. Only God could give Peter this revelation. We saw how Peter quickly stepped back into the natural. He rebuked Jesus and saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, that this will not happen to you." But Jesus turned around and complimented Peter. He said, "I rebuke you, Satan." Poor Peter. Here he gets all his praise and honor, and then it's all washed away. Then he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you have offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." And so we see that Peter, this wonderful person, whom could receive insight from the Lord, have something to say about Jesus dying and going to resurrection. So if you will, turn over to Matthew 28. Let's talk about this resurrection. I thought D'Esta was going to preach my sermon out from under me. And in Matthew 28, starting with verse 1. "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. That means they all fell out under the power. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And so they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples the word. Then verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, a lot of your translation says, "All power has been given unto me in heaven and earth." And that is not the correct term. Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of Jesus and of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. Now, I want to clarify the fact of how important is Easter for us as believers. It's celebrated all over the world, Easter. Well, it was a very historical event that took place. You know, our nation has what we call the 4th of July. And that is where we declared our freedom. How many of you know that? We as a United States, we declared our freedom from other nations, and we became a sovereign nation unto ourselves. Well, actually, Easter, that's really what it's about. It is a sovereign act of God to give us our freedom, our 4th of July, from our old life into a new life. Glory to God. Now, I have my wife here as a testimony that I had a different life before I got saved and born again. Did I not, Sue? Without hesitation. Well, I can say that to you, honey. You were a different person before Jesus. How many of you can truthfully say when you got born again, you're a different person? Now, there are some Christians that don't seem to see much change take place. Well, I got news for you. When I received Jesus as my Lord, the same thing happened to me that happened to Jesus. My old life was put to death so that I could be resurrected to newness of life. Now, ours is a process where Jesus, he was predestined to be what he is. But he who knew no sin was made to be sin. And that was not a process. It took place on the cross. Now, it's amazing that when my old life was put down, the cross in the Old Testament was a symbol of Roman crucifixion. And the man that was destined to the cross knew that he had to say goodbye to everybody, even his closest friends, because he knew that when he went to the cross, it was put on the cross, that his life would come to a complete abrupt end. There was no life after the cross for him. He would be finished. Now, today we have Christians with this thought in mind that Christ came to improve their old life. The cross is not a symbol of improving an old life. The cross is a symbol of eradicating your old man and resurrecting you to the new man that you should become. And see, a lot of people don't understand what it means to be born again or born of the Spirit. Now, man is a tripart being. We have a spirit, we live in a body, and we possess a soul. And we know that the mind has what we call the physical part and then the spiritual part. And what a lot of people don't realize is that when Jesus hung on that cross, when we saw that picture of Jesus hanging on the cross, when Isaiah 53 went towards the end of the crucifixion, what amazed me is that they gave the Father great joy to pour the wrath of Him out on the Son. And I couldn't comprehend that. I couldn't comprehend why God would find great joy in pouring His wrath out on His Son. Until it finally dawned on me one day. When I was walking across the sign shop to where I was working. And I saw my grandchild after the flood laying on the ground there. And no life in him. I'm very attached to my grandchildren. And I couldn't really get much out of that, but I heard these words. You're looking at the greatest grace I could give man. And that is to do away or eradicate what he is physically so he can be resurrected to newness of life. Those people during that flood, when they lost their natural life, they ended up in a place called paradise until they received their glorification. That's a place in the center of the earth. It is now empty. They're all up there in the third heaven. But it never dawned on me that when I was looking at the cross, I saw Jesus hanging on it. But God spoke to me and He said, you're looking at the wrong side of the cross. He said, you have to see the cross from my side. Because I was asking, how could you give great joy in pouring your wrath out of Him? And He says, because from my viewpoint, my Son was not on that cross. You were. You were the one I poured my wrath out on. And I declared myself justified so that whoever would receive me can now come to me freely. It would be free. You could come and receive me now without fearing, ever fearing my wrath ever again. Because even though you, from your side of the cross, you see me, my Son crucified, but from my side of the cross, I crucified and poured my wrath out on you. And it was complete. I was satisfied with it. And it was sufficient. Well, how many of you can remember when you were in school, how you were given the tests? And every time the test sheet came down in front of you, you knew that that was Satan. You knew that came right from the devil, man. And some of us didn't do the test right. We didn't pass. Well, Jesus put the test sheet before the Son. The Son passed the test and gave you His grade. Isn't that great news? He is the propitiation. He was the complete price and penalty that was needed to redeem us from our old person that we used to be. Praise God. Now we have the opportunity through the process of grace to grow in the way we think, the way we act, and the way that we do things because we're resurrected to a complete new life. Hallelujah. That I never before lived. And some believers don't realize that when they come into the kingdom of God, He didn't bring you into His kingdom to improve what you used to do. He eradicated you. He put you to death on the other side of the cross. There's nothing left of the old man. The only reason you pick him up again is you like fellowshipping in the graveyard. I'll never forget in California when I was working there. This is before I gave my life to the Lord. I had this sweet little Christian guy handed me this tract and he says, you want to get saved? I looked at that tract and I looked at him. From what? He said, from going to hell. I got to thinking, what planet did you come from? I thought he was an alien. I says, I'm living in it. What do you mean I got to get saved from it? I'm living in it. And I just threw the pamphlet back to him and said, that boy needs to be re-instructed where he's living. But I didn't know at that time what he was saying. You see, I was living out of the old man that I used to be that does nothing but bring death into my life. My choices couldn't even be right. The Bible even says natural man doesn't have the ability to even know where he's right from wrong until he makes Jesus the Lord of his life. And then God takes from the Word, especially the New Testament, and shows you what the new person you have now become. And if you don't see that you've been put to death to your old man and resurrected to newness of life, then where do you begin to change the way you think about things? Change the way you choose to do things. Well, where would the Holy Spirit be in leading us into the right way from the wrong way when He gives you a check in your heart and life? Now, people seem to think that God gives you checks because there's something that you're doing wrong. And with the check, they think that God carries on this conversation and downloads all this negative information once you get the check. But God doesn't do that. He gives you a check without any information just to let you know you're on the wrong path. Get back on the right path. That's all He does. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, if I didn't know that I have a new life that I have to live, then even if He gives me a check and I haven't abandoned that old life, I won't even follow the check that I get. Because I'll try to live out my Christianity through the old man that I used to be. But the Bible says when you become new in Christ Jesus, you are to put to death. You are to bring to mortification the deeds of that old life. You're not to perform it anymore. Because why? Because you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become. And I'm no longer bound up in the old man because the old man does not know how to balance his life properly. He doesn't know limitations. We're an infection of addiction now in our society. They don't know how to handle it. And the only way they can handle it is take themselves out of it through death. And we have life. Isn't that great news? We have life. I don't have to choose death. I can choose life. You know, my heart goes out to these people in addictions. You know, psychiatrists, they can help you by telling you what's right from what's wrong. But when you get born again, it isn't psychology. It's God working in your heart to change the way you think about addiction. He sets you free. And addicted people are not free, but you're free for their freedom. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'll never forget when we went to Seattle and started preaching on the streets. And doing the same thing I made that guy in California a little fussy about. And I'll never forget these two drunks. They were drunk. These young kids, they were stone hammered. And my brother Timmy walked up to him and said, hey, do you guys know Jesus? Yeah, we know Jesus. Well, would you like to hear the message of salvation? And they said, no, not really. Listen, this is what Timmy told them. He said, if I lay hands on you and God sobers you up, would you hear the message? Oh, sure. So Tim put his hands up. Said, Jesus, sober them up so they can understand. They sat there for a while. And I'm watching this, and their heads bowed. Finally, they both looked up like this. And he started backing off from Tim. And Tim said, "Hey, you're sober." And they're literally freaked out. They're no longer hammered. You know how it ended up? They were running from Tim, and Tim was chasing them. "You promised me you'd let me preach you the word." He finally caught up to him and drug him into this hamburger place and made him sit there and listen to him. And come to find out, both of them had known the Lord at one time. They just went astray. And so they'd received the Lord right there in the restaurant. And I'm sitting there. I'm amazed. So I go outside the door. I'm just excited because I saw life come into two people that needed it. And then I see this guy out there, and I'm all pumped after seeing Tim's results. And I walked up to this guy and I said, "Do you know Jesus?" And this other kid run up to me and he says, "Don't talk to him." And I said, "Why?" "He'll kill you." And I went, "What do you mean he'll kill me?" He's an agnostic. And he doesn't believe in God. And I said, "You said agnostic, not atheist." And he says, "Well, that's what he said he was." And I said, "Well, I'm going to talk to him." "Okay, but I warned you. You better get ready." And so I moved aside and my heart's beating. This guy is a little bit bigger than me. And so I walked up to him and I said, "I understand that you're an agnostic." The guy looks at me and says, "What do you want?" And I said, "I want to preach Jesus to you." "You want to what?" And I said, "I want to preach Jesus to you." And I'm sitting there on the inside of my head. What do I say next? I'm looking for trouble here. God, I need your help. And God gave me a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge about him. Now, wouldn't that make you feel real comfortable? You would like say, "Is that really you, God?" The information I was receiving was this. I saw him as a little boy kneeling down by his bed. And I knew that his grandmother preached Jesus to him constantly. And he kept rejecting Jesus. And I'll never forget his prayer. As he was kneeling by the bed, I saw him praying this prayer so vividly. "God, if you're really real, then you show yourself to me." Now, God's telling me this while I'm standing there with this guy. And what do you got to lose? Your life. Or, that was God. So I figure, well, he won't kill me, but I'll probably end up punched. But I'll tell him what I saw. And I began to tell him the very thing that I saw. And his mouth dropped open. And he goes, "Who told you this?" And I said, "I'm telling you, it was God. Because you told no one about this. You kept it to yourself all that time." And he bowed his head and he began to weep. And I said, "God is proving to you right now that he heard your prayer. I led him to the Lord." I'm going to tell you, people, when you come to newness of life and realizing your old life is, God will open up avenues in your heart and life you never dreamed of. But you can't be hanging around with your old man. You can't keep going back to that graveyard. You gotta put all the dirt on top of that old man and then put a tombstone on it called RIP. You rest in peace. Because it's going to come a time when God's going to resurrect you to the newness of life. Because the last sin, the last thing that will be put under hand is death. Physical death, glory to God. will be resurrected to glorious of life. Because as Christ was risen from the dead on Easter, glory to God, we have a hope that's his future. Yeah. Yeah. My wife will tell you, we would not be together today if I hadn't done something with the old man. Isn't that right, Sue? I can remember getting so drunk and getting control of her by driving down a sidewalk, screaming at her to scare her. Not even on the street. Do you remember that? Just totally nuts. Crazy. Thank God I'm no longer that person that was over here sweeping, dealing with bills and drinking booze. I come to the cross. I'm no longer that person anymore. Why? God poured his wrath out on my old man. Guess what? If God pours his wrath out on your physical man, I guarantee you, you're dead. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. He doesn't offer an improved old life. He gives you a brand new life. You think differently. Glory to God. You talk differently. Glory to God. You deal with life differently. Glory to God. And he gives you the grace to grow into it. Thank God for resurrection life. He made that old life inoperative, inactive. We don't have to be under its rule any longer. According to Romans 6, it tells us very clearly there, if you have been crucified and put to death with him and been resurrected to newness of life, you are no longer under the rule of the old man you used to be, because you need to reckon him graveyard material. Don't follow him no more. Follow the Spirit of the Lord. Get under his rule and get under his reign and listen to what the newness of life has got to offer. Not a reconditioned, renewed life, but a brand new life. I changed citizenship. Somebody said, are you Democrat? Are you Republican? I'm a heavenland. I'm a heavenland. What's a heavenland? I'm heavenly minded. Praise God. I operate in all three realms. This realm, the second realm, and the third realm. Democrats or Republicans can't get above this realm. They're stuck here. You guys have figured that one out by now. They can't even get along with each other. I'm not only part of this realm, but I'm part of the second realm. And I'm a part of the third realm. Why? Because I'm living out of heavenly citizenship, not earthly citizenship. Glory to God. Ooh, glory to God. Are you Democrat? I'm a Heviklin. I'm a Heviklin. If that's a word, I'm a Heviklin. What are the symbols of a Democrat? One's a donkey, and the other is a what? Elephant. Well, what's our symbol? The cross. Glory to God. The cross. Do you know what they put on the heads on the head of a grave? A cross. Rip. And got news for you. It is old Dan Wrinkle. Glory to God. Everybody here a Heviklin? Okay. That's what we are, a Heviklin. Praise God. Democrats and Republicans, they have to deal with this realm. But when we're a Heviklin, a citizenship of heaven. We get our orders from headquarters. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, did I do you justice? If you're saying, oh me, make the adjustment. Hallelujah. 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 I'm excited. Now, we don't have Word Connections tonight, do we? No, because it's Easter. I meant, you had enough of me this morning. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Easter, the symbol of our freedom, our 4th of July. I thank you, Father, that we can choose to live in a victorious life just by our choosing. And you give us grace to grow into it. Father, my prayer for everyone here this morning is that they would get into their Bible and learn how to live that victorious life. For the Bible was designed for the mind of the believer, not the unbeliever. The unbeliever benefits from it, but really the Bible is for the mind of the believer. May everyone here search and seek for all that you are in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the Lord said, get into the Sunday school. I want to show you some things about some questions that you've been asking me. And boy, I got dressed as quick as I could and I got in there. And I was amazed at what God shared with me through John Cook and his message. I'm going to tell you people, if you have not been in Sunday school, you need to be there. Because I'm telling you, whenever God works in the heart of a person to put together a package for you to hear, it's a Holy Ghost job at work. And I so enjoyed your teaching this morning, John, and I had sat there and I got so much out of it. But I got an answer to some things I've been asking the Lord for, and I'll share it with you tomorrow. But I'm going to tell you, get involved in the body of Christ. Don't just be a believer seeking God. That's where you, what I mean by that is don't be an independent believer seeking God, but be an independent believer seeking God for the benefit of coming back to the body of Christ and sharing it with them as well. That's what it's all about. And I'll share with you what I got out of what he had shared. It's fabulous. But I want to tell you people, whenever the Holy Ghost puts an anointing on somebody, respect that anointing and God will do a lot for you. He will. It's the Holy Ghost that is revealing the kingdom. Not just men, but it's the Holy Ghost. Boy, I knew in my office when I was seeking for a couple of answers. I knew in my office when God said, your answers are going to be found in what John Cook shared. When I got down there, whoa, glory to God. Whew. Thank God for the body of Christ in the earth. Amen. Praise God. Everybody stand up. We're going to get ready to dismiss. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for a new life that you've given so many of us in this body. I thank you for the work, the wonderful work that you're doing through your people. I thank you for the wonderful testimonies. Father, I thank you for Mike Huffman and his testimony and how he's progressing. I just want to thank you, Lord. You are so faithful to your church and your people. And may your people be totally blessed as they move on in you more than ever. Father, teach us to knit ourselves together, become tender-hearted for one another. And find that time to fellowship together. We thank you for resurrection, Jesus. Without you being resurrected, there would be no justification for us. But once we were justified, it then released Jesus from the grave. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Now, Heavenly Father, if there's anybody here this morning that has never made Jesus truly the Lord of their life, then, Father, would you speak to them to come forward and receive him? We won't do anything to embarrass you, but we'll just pray with you. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, never said the sinner's prayer, we welcome you for that right now. Hallelujah. So before we close, anybody that would like to receive Jesus, feel free to come out right now. Do away with that old life and walk in newness of life. This fallen world has nothing to offer you in truth. This fallen world has nothing to offer you in success. This fallen world can only give you broken dreams. It can't give you a faith and a hope and a love that this world needs. There is no such thing as a love in this world that can satisfy the love that you truly need. It is the love of Jesus. That is the only love you can count on. He's the only man you can count on. Know that. Otherwise, you'll be wandering around like a nomad in a desert, looking for your life to be fulfilled, and it can't be found in this world. Only that which is from above. So once we dismiss, if you feel led to come up, please feel free to do so. I will wait here and pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful people. As they go their way today, may they have a great Easter, and may all those little kids find them eggs in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. God bless y'all.